You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour podcast. I welcome you, my football friends. If you don't know what this podcast is about, it's about football. And we pick specific points to talk about on our football podcast. Normally we do. This week, Dylan Clinton tweeted at The Football Hour, if you want a podcast about anything to do with football, dedicated to you, about a subject you want us to talk about, tweet us at The Football Hour, like at dclinton99 did. He said, chairmen and owners, good in football, question mark. Good and bad. Both Leeds and Fulham have had interesting years. Charlton Coventry as well. Dumb. Chairman and owners are frustrating me. Why do I care? Just put the money into the club, shut your mouth, employ a manager when one needs to, stop getting so involved. You hear more about chairman now than you do players.
Yeah, because the owner, all you need to do, as you said, just give the money to the people who are making the transfers, making the team tick, whatever. Don't get involved. You're not needed. All you are good at is business.
Yeah.
Are you a football man? Most of the time, not. Most of the time, not.
Is that the problem, then? These money men, these businessmen, thinking they're football men.
I think that is the issue.
Take Birmingham City, for example. They're new owners. They're new Chinese owners, right? Why did they sack Gary Rowett? Because every football fan in the country would have had Gary Rowett at Birmingham City. Who wanted Gianfranco Zola? Some Chinese investor who's arrived in Birmingham to sign the contract for the club. I understand it. You'd probably, Dom, if you were an owner, you'd think, shall I have Gianfranco Zola as my manager? Yeah, he scored some good goals, didn't he? He was great at Chelsea. He's not a good manager, and he's proving that. They don't seem to have the football nous, intelligence, that they used to. And we say that the nous and the intelligence that they used to. I knew they had the nous because I never heard about them, and that's what I keep repeating. Dom, they seem to be sucking the fun out of football. Football seems to be played on a spreadsheet now, at how much money Liverpool earned last year, at what profit they had, at how much their highest player cost. It's not played on a football field anymore. Is that disheartening for you?
I mean, football is always going to be football. And everyone knows, without fans, football is nothing. So, I mean, a lot of the examples that come out are clubs that are run badly. Mm. But I think, because clubs that are run well, they don't need to have news stories written about them.
Yeah.
There's no need for that. What you should need to do as an owner, as we said, is just pump the money into the club, right? That's all you need to be doing. And then you have someone, I'm not a fan of the role, but a director of football or something like that, who knows football, who knows which players need to be signed, who knows which parts your club need to be invested in. Realistically, as we said, the owner, you're just the wallet of the club. That's all you are. You can't just make a rash decision as soon as you come in.
Mm.
You can make the decisions once you've embedded yourself into the club. Why come in and sack a manager like Garrow, who's been doing an unbelievable job? I think the highest amount of money he ever paid for a player was like $2 or $3 million.
Going to the opposite side of Birmingham, Aston Villa, why is their chairman on Twitter tweeting about transfers, tweeting percentages about how close his transfers are? Do it behind closed doors. Don't air your dirty laundry out on Twitter. You're a professional businessman who's clearly been successful in whatever he's made his money. That's not for me to know. He's made a lot of money and he's come bought Aston Villa. I don't know if I want to hear my chairman on Twitter. And it's not working for Aston Villa at the moment, is it?
Their transfer policy, I don't know what it is. Is it just to spend loads of money on the best players in the Championship and hoping it's going to work?
So yes.
That is literally their policy. Ross McCormack, over 10 million.
Yeah.
Nathan Kodjia, over 10 million. They signed Conor Hurry from Barnsley, yet Barnsley did a double over them. Their transfer policy is an absolute joke. And what they needed to do was not do that. That is the last thing they need to do. Because look at the slide Villa have been on the last few years. Mm. They've avoided relegation ever so slightly from the Premier League for about 3 years in a row.
But they've continued to be a Premier League club in the Championship. That's not what you want.
They didn't understand what their identity as a club was in the Championship.
They didn't adapt.
They didn't know what their system was. As I've said over and over again, you buy players for a system you know that's going
to
work.
You don't just pick a player and go, please, manager, make him good. The manager comes to you and goes, I've identified, this is my formation.
How many strikers did they need? Jordan Ayew, Agbon Lahore, Scott Hogan,
Ross McCormack,
Nathan Codger. You can't play five up front, mate.
Well, obviously, they've got the money to do it. So, is football now not a game, it's a business?
Well, it's been a business for a while now, but I think good owners, there are loads out there. But I said, I don't think you hear about them, because you don't need to hear about them. That should just be a seamless, natural thing.
Yeah.
For a football club just to run well, and the owners just doing a good job. Like, let's say a good owner, from my perspective, obviously was what Al Fayed did to us. Yes, he invested a lot of money in, but he did it the right way round. I know this was like 15 years ago.
Stoke? Is it Peter Coates still? Southampton? I was at the League Cup final on the weekend against Manchester United. I was working in the Royal Box, and the Royal Box is this massive suite in Wembley, Dom, full up of all the hierarchy of the two clubs. So on one table, I was in the same room as Sir Bobby Charlton, Sir Alex Ferguson, David Gill, former chief executive of Manchester United. And they were on one side of the room. Man United was on one half, Southampton were on the other. I walked to the other side of the suite. I didn't know anyone from Southampton. Isn't that a good thing?
Well, yeah, but if we looked at the sorry state Southampton were in maybe 10 years ago, when they dropped down to League One, then they had a totally rethink.
But it was, yeah, did it calmly.
A rebrand of the club. And now they've got an identity as a club. I think you know a team is operating well when they have an identity. You know what they do. He's invested the money in his academy, which, I mean, he always had a good academy. But I keep saying you don't need to know a good owner. You shouldn't have to call him a good owner. It should just be an owner who should be good anyway.
Mm.
And the issues mainly should be on the pitch, if you're going to have any, not off it.
Do you think, talking of money and business, and the game is awash with cash everywhere you turn, every club in the Championship, in the Premier League, are spending millions on players. And then the elite clubs are spending near on billion on players. Could there quite possibly be a market crash? Like we had a world market crash, a recession, like we had in 2008, when everyone lost their job. Could football go the same way as that?
You could see that happening, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
But if Sky and BT pulled the rug under at the end of these contracts and said, we're playing ludicrous amounts of cash for these somewhat dull Premier League games. A lot of the games we've watched this year have been dull.
What the issue is these clubs think the more money you spend, the better and bigger you're going to get. That's simply not how it works. It gets built over a long, long length of time. That is why the only big team in the entirety of England is Man United. A world-class, high-level team. Because Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona, everyone in the world knows those three teams who knows anything about football, and Man United. I think you can't just become a big club. That isn't how it works. It's built over decades and... And, yeah, people just think, oh, we'll lump all this money on players and we'll become the next Chelsea or the next Man United. Like, I think owners need to learn more about football before they buy these clubs, because they just think, oh, is that any business? We'll invest more and then we'll make more. But that's not simply how it works.
So where are we going to get our control back? Who are we pointing the finger at here? Because our football leagues and the Premier League is awash with foreign owners who know nothing about their clubs, who know not much about football. Who are you pointing the finger at? The FA? Premier League? Football League? Who? Which ones?
I don't have an issue with this foreign owner, the way loads of clubs own my foreign. I don't have an issue with that, personally. I have an issue with the way the FA just let them buy these clubs. It doesn't seem to be a filter saying you have to pass a certain test of are you fit to run a football club.
Because a manager has to take coaching badges. Why shouldn't a owner have to take
owning badges? I mean, it's a great point. I think they just don't employ the right people in the right areas. They come into the club and think they can make all the decisions. It's going to go like a business, and it isn't simply how it's going to work. You need someone who is maybe below you but can run the football side. You can run the business side, yeah, that's great, but don't interfere with the football.
Well, that's what Leeds United had with Chelino. He was interfering, sticking his nose in where it wasn't needed. What we needed was a guy to steady the shit, the crumbling shit. And in some ways he did that. In some ways, I despise the bloke. And this is why I'm talking about owners in football. I hate Massimo Cellino. I hated GFH, the previous ownership. They had no money. These were owners, Dom. investment bankers who decided to own Leeds United and then try and find the capital to fund Leeds United. They couldn't find anyone, because who's stupid enough to give another company money to run a football club? Because if I had the money, you just run it yourself. Why would you ask these people to do it? Then previously, Ken Bates, who sucked the life and soul out of Leeds United. And it's just gone like that. Steady decline down the football leagues. My club's been destroyed by a group of a few individuals.
Because I know what it's like to have a club that runs well.
Mm.
Our years under Al Fayed, if you take maybe the last 2 or 3 years away,
yeah,
we just loved him because he was our owner, because he was doing what he said he'd do. And literally getting relegated out of League Two to the 13 years in the Premier League.
Mm.
And you don't hear that against mentioned. The most media coverage he got was the whole Dodi Al Fayed and Princess Diana. That's the only time he was ever in the media. And then you could see he was selling up in the last few years, and Shade Khan came in. He gets a lot of unfair stick for me because he's invested money into the club. He can continue the investment we started in our youth setup, and you can tell that now with players like Patrick Roberts at Man City on loan at Celtic, Moussa Dembélé, who's wanted by every top European club. We've got our 16-year-old Ryan Sessegnon. Yeah, there's clubs who have been run well, and then a bad owner has come in, and it's destructed them as a club.
Blackburn,
they're not even the worst example. Chelten, they were comfortably in the Premier League year on year with Alan Kirbishley.
Yeah.
Then they've just slided down.
For a football fan, what is the most important thing to you? Is it glory or money? I can't believe you're thinking about this.
Neither of them are the most important things as a football fan to me.
It's, what is it, enjoyment?
Yeah, I go there to enjoy myself. If you support maybe a bigger club, it might be different. Say you supported Leeds 20, 30 years ago. You've been thinking glory, when we're next in Europe, when we're going to win the next tournament or whatever. For me, it's just been enjoyment, because we're never going to be a big club.
Okay.
But obviously, yeah, you take winning trophies over being the club who makes the most money every year. But for me, football is about the fans, and the fans go there, spend their hard-earned money every single season, thousands and thousands of pounds, follow a team home and away to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And do these Cheltenham fans enjoy themselves? No.
No.
Do these country fans enjoy themselves? No.
No.
Do these Blackpool fans, they don't care about winning these
yeah.
leagues. They care about enjoying yeah. watching their football club, the football club which they've grown up to love, because
they're part of the community.
I mean, a glory hunter won't exactly, maybe not, won't understand that, but if you support your local team,
yeah,
it's because it represents your area.
Yeah. Millwall have recently won the fight to keep their ground where it is.
Because Millwall are very, it might sound weird calling them a community club because of the whole violent history of the club, but that's what they are. They represent their area.
Yeah. These places, these football clubs are meccas. In these towns, in these cities, they're meccas. And people leave their houses on Saturday afternoons and walk to their mecca, which is they pray at the feet of their football team. And if an owner comes in and he mistreats your child, your love, then it hurts. It really hurts. I'm all for fan protests. The Charlton things, throwing stuff on the pitch. You know what? I'm all for it. I don't care. It's your club. You do what you want. You protest in the way you want to protest.
And that's why you're seeing so many fan-run clubs now and break-off clubs. FC United of Manchester, AFC Wimbledon. You're seeing these clubs because they're not happy with what happened to their team.
Yeah.
You can even look abroad to Austria. When Red Bull bought Salzburg,
yep.
they built their own club. This isn't us. We're going to build our what we believe our club is.
Yeah.
And you know, that could happen with the likes of Charlton and Blackpool if they don't get their club back.
I think we are reaching a tipping point and we're getting towards it. I've had enough now as a football fan, because everything is about money. I'm so bored about hearing how much Paul Pogba cost. What is Paul Pogba like as a player? Let's talk about that. I'd rather talk about that than his price tag. I'd rather talk about who's in my academy, where's the next prospect coming through the Leeds Academy, so I, the football fan, can watch him at my football team. I'm not hoping a prospect comes into the first team, does really well. Oh, because what's his sell-on fee? I don't care. But sadly, chairman and owners of clubs, they mistreat us, they mistreat what they own, and they're mistreating the game, and I don't know where we go from it. Don't know where we go from here, but it's a really, really interesting topic of conversation, Dom. I've got quite down about it again, but thank you, Dylan, for tweeting at the Football Hour. Hopefully we've covered the things you want to. We're a bit dismayed with ownership of football clubs. At certain football clubs, often a lot of the clubs run themselves well. Continue to do that. Don't mess up, because we as football fans, we trust you a lot. Dom Betts, thank you very much.
No worries.
I've been Alex Mearns. You have been the Football Hour listener. Thank you so much.